Hear now our scripture reading from the Gospel of Matthew. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord. This morning on this Labor Day week, I began to think a little bit about the wonders of work. And it made me reflect a moment on a woman named Beverly who still does, live in the nursing home that my dad lived in. Beverly was a nurse by profession, struggling with Alzheimer's as my dad did. And yet, even though she couldn't remember much of what she did, she still carried herself like a nurse. And it let me realize that sometimes we have professions where we do a certain thing, and then there are other times when we are what we do. In Beverly's case, she is a nurse, even though she no longer practices it. And I thought about that in reference to Moses. Last week we spoke a little bit about the birth of Moses and how when he was young, the Pharaoh's daughter drew him out of the water and raised him in Pharaoh's court. The story goes on to say that when Moses became a man, he killed one of the Egyptian soldiers and fled Egypt. And now we find Moses as a shepherd, shepherding sheep. And I wondered to myself, is Moses just performing a duty, or is Moses a shepherd? Regardless of the sheep that he has. Then we find God who calls Moses and says, Moses, I need you to do something. You're no longer going to shepherd sheep. I need you now to shepherd my people, to go to Egypt and demand that they be set free. God calls Moses because God knows. God knows about their troubles. God has heard the cries of the people. God has seen their misery. I think sometimes we begin to think that maybe God isn't listening or God isn't present because nothing seems to happen. Has that happened to you? But the truth about God is that God is. God is not God because of God's relationship to anything. God is not God because of what people say, even if no one worshiped God or believed in God. God would still be God. When Moses asks, Who should I say sent me? God says, Tell them, I am who I am. God is who God is. And God knows. And because God knows, God called Moses in response. because there's work to do. For Moses to respond to God's call, he will have to deny himself. Deny the luxury of indulging his fears and ignoring the plight of his people. Deny the luxury of this comfortable life in the wilderness with his family, away from all the troubles in Egypt. Deny the luxury of his life of safety and security under his father-in-law's protection. Moses will have to deny himself. For he can only respond to God's call by letting go of all of those things. But I want you to spend just a moment thinking about just how hard that is. For the most part, many times we would rather wait until the coast is clear before jumping into the fray of things. We would prefer to tend to our own concerns rather than the burden of the concerns of others. This doesn't always stem from a bad place. It doesn't mean that we're bad people. We just want to care for ourselves first. There's this great scene in the last Spider-Man movie, I don't know how many of you saw it, where Aunt May, who is Peter Parker, by the way, is Spider-Man, but Aunt May and Peter Parker are having dinner in a restaurant, and the television is playing in the background, and there comes on the screen a scene where Spider-Man is fighting the bad guys in a bank. And Aunt May, she turns and she sees it, and she turns to Peter Parker, Spider-Man, not knowing that that's who it is. And she tells him very sternly, if ever you see anything like that happen, you make sure to run the other way. And of course, Peter Parker says, yes, Aunt May, not realizing that that's him fighting all the bad guys. But she's not a bad person. She wants what's best for her nephew. She wants him to come home safely. And as far as she's concerned, he has to be more worried about himself than about anyone else. The Apostle Peter wants the same for Jesus. All that negative talk about being beaten and tortured and killed and risen on the third day, that is too much for Peter to hear. Peter didn't have to read How to Win Friends and Influence People in order to know this is not how you do it. When he hears Jesus speak about his upcoming death, everything in him says, no. Save yourself and us. Defend yourself and us. Protect yourself and us. No more talk about sacrificing and dying, because who are we without you? And in that moment, Peter, who Jesus had named the rock just a moment before, now becomes a stumbling stone, tempting Jesus to turn away from the work that is before him, this work of ushering in the kingdom of God, this work of awakening all to the truth of who God is, this work of reconciling everyone to his Father. What a privilege we have to be invited to join the work of Christ and be instruments of grace and love and compassion and healing within our communities. How wonderful that you and I are called to be the body of Christ, not only here in this beautiful temple among each other, but out in the world, to be Christ's hands and feet and voice and heart. However, Jesus tells us that the only way we can do that will be for us to deny ourselves, to pick up our crosses, and to follow him. There will be all kinds of temptations to turn away from the work ahead. There will be plenty of reasons why we can't, and we don't, and we won't, and we shouldn't. However, to follow and to know Christ changes everything. And to live for Him transforms our whole life. A little more than 20 years ago, I was working for an investment bank on Wall Street, in the Wall Street area. I had my own office. I had VP after my name. I was making almost six figures. My dad, who is an immigrant or was an immigrant from Panama to this country, couldn't have been more proud. His daughter had achieved the American dream. And everything was all roses, and he just had visions of this successful daughter going and achieving such heights. Then one day I called my dad and I said, "Dad, I'm leaving my job to work for a church in Manhattan." Well, let's just put it this way, he didn't take it very well. In response, he said, and I quote, "Have you lost your mind? Nobody walks away from what you have accomplished." He said, "If you want to be some good doer, then make your first million and give some of it away." And I could hear the anger and the disappointment, that's really what it was, rising in his voice as he just went on and on and on. And finally he just says, "I can't talk to you anymore." And he hung up. About 6 months later, Dad came to New York. And he told me he wanted to come with me that Sunday to visit my new church. I left him when we arrived at the church in the hands of the congregation as I went out to do the work of being the church and working on staff. And when we drove home later that evening, Dad turned to me and he said, "I get it now." What he witnessed that day was me finding my life, because I was willing to lose it for Jesus. My brothers and sisters, Jesus says, if we wish to be his disciples, we will deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. It will look differently for every single one of us. The work we will be called to do will be different for each one. The sacrifices we will be expected to make may vary. But one thing will be the same for all of us. If we dare to lose our lives for Jesus, we will find it. We will find it. Therefore, as Romans reads, "Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take that thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord." There is work to do. Don't let temptation keep you from doing it. Even if no one sees or acknowledges or appreciates or honors it, know that God knows, and that God sees, and that God will bless you abundantly as you seek to live your life as a blessing for God. Amen. Amen.